From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Bible's Supreme Place. The text is Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Yes, a true love for the great book will bring us great peace from the great God and be a great protection to us. Let us live constantly in the society of the law of the Lord, and it will breed in our hearts a restfulness such as nothing else can. The Holy Spirit acts as a comforter through the Word, and sheds abroad those benign influences which calm the tempests of the soul. Nothing is a stumbling block to the man who has the Word of God dwelling in him richly. He takes up his daily cross, and it becomes a delight. For the fiery trial he has prepared, and counts it not strange, so as to be utterly cast down by it. He is neither stumbled by prosperity, as so many are, nor crushed by adversity, as others have been. For he lives beyond the changing circumstances of external life. When his Lord puts before him some great mystery of the faith, which makes others cry, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" the believer accepts it without question. For his intellectual difficulties are overcome by his reverent awe of the law of the Lord, which is to him the supreme authority to which he joyfully bows. Lord, work in us this love, this peace, this rest, this day.
Thy word, Lord, how I
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Romans. In chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the gospel of Christ as being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Then in verse 17 he said, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. It is the righteousness of God which lies at the heart of this book. Beginning in verse 18, Paul turns his attention to the wrath of God against sin and sinners. As Dr. Cairns will explain, it is of utmost importance to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the introduction to a message called The Revelation of the Wrath of God.
Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of this passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. Romans 1 verse 18 begins the first major section of this great book. You will remember that the book falls into very easily into a two-part division. First, there is the theme of sin and death in Adam. This division, of course, based, as we saw the other week, on Romans 5, 12 through 21. The two persons, Adam and Christ, is the key to the book and the key to history. So the first part is sin and death in Adam. And in this part one, the gospel denounces the guilt of sinners. All the way from verse 18 of chapter 1 through to verse 20 in chapter 3. Then at the chapter 3, verse 21, running through the remainder of the book, you have the second great division. And that is righteousness and life in Christ. And in that part, the gospel announces the grace of the Savior. And in the detailed outline I gave out some months ago, you will see how the theme of grace is dealt with from chapter to chapter and section to section right throughout the epistle. Now tonight we come to deal with the first of these divisions. And we begin at the beginning, verse 18 of chapter 1. Generally, the passage we have read tonight deals with the heathens or with the Gentile nations, while chapter 2 through to chapter 3, verse 8, deals with the Jews. And then the remaining verses 9 to 20 in chapter 3 brings Jews and Gentiles together as the whole world is held guilty before God. So it's Gentiles, Jews, and then Gentiles and Jews together being dealt with as the gospel denounces the guilt of sinners and shows that there is universal death because of universal sin in Adam. Actually, however, some of what we have read tonight, at least, in fact, I suppose in some ways everything that we read tonight could apply to Jews as well as it does to Gentiles. Certainly these opening verses, verse 18 through 21, are just as true of a Jew as of a Gentile. And at some time or other in their history, the Jews were guilty of every one of the sins that are here listed in Romans chapter 1. It is certainly true that verse 32 is as true of the Jews as of the Gentiles, that they knew the judgment of God, and despite that knowledge, they committed sin against God's law. They committed things that were guilty of death, and they took pleasure in those who did so. That's very important to understand, because chapter 2 begins with a word that has often perplexed commentators when it comes to deal with the Jew, or as some people prefer it, though I think they're wrong, it's no big deal. Chapter 1 dealing with the clean living, the upright, the evil living, and chapter 2 the upright sinner. Chapter 2 begins with therefore, or wherefore. In other words, everything that he is going to say to the man in chapter 2, be he a Jew or some upright, self-righteous sinner of whatever kind, is based on what he has just said in chapter 1. So there is a sense in what we have read tonight is true universally of all men. But nonetheless, I think that when you read it, you can't help, and there are certain indications later on that I'm not going to take note of now. We will see them in due course, that indicate that Paul means us to see the Gentiles here before he reaches the Jews. We look at this and we see a history of the world. That's one of the great important features of this passage. I was out for breakfast yesterday morning with Larry Saunders and his daughter. She was getting off the campus for a while. She was spreading her wings and she'd get out of the cage. Well, sorry, she'd get out of the campus. And I was saying to Larry, you know, there's a way in which the more I read history, the more I believe there's no such thing as history. Except in the Bible. The more you read about what's supposed to be history, and then you read some more, you realize that what's been accepted as historical is not really very objectively true at all. There's so much read into it. So much miscalculation. But here you have a completely objective and an entirely true, divinely given history of the world. This is God's statement of the progress of the civilization of the world. If you go to any school in the world and they teach you the history of civilization, you will learn a lot of interesting and a lot of entrancing things about Egyptian and Chinese and Greek civilization. And there are certainly things there to enrapture the soul. But remember, underneath it all, this is the truth. This, what we have read tonight, this is God's statement of the civilizations of men, of whatever kind. And it is a very dark and bleak picture. This is God's statement of human civilization in the year 2002. And just as we should not be blinded to the follies and the wickednesses of the Greeks by the beauty of their architecture or the brilliance of their poetry or their philosophy, so we should not be blinded to the true state of humanity today because of man's technological ability to send ships into space, men to the moon, and to do all sorts of wonderful things. The reality underneath it all is still the same. And it is a bleak picture that the Lord is painting here as he comments on the life and the culture of the nations, and especially of the Gentile nations. Now, we have read this entire passage, though we're not going to deal with the entire passage, because we need to get a grasp of what Paul is saying. This is the foundation of the entire epistle. It states the need for salvation. You will notice the imbalance as far as the number of chapters and verses goes between the first division of the book and the second. The first takes from chapter 118 to 320. You're dealing with really less than two full chapters. The rest of the book is taken up with the story of grace and salvation in Christ. That's deliberately done. That's not an accident. Paul has done that deliberately. This is a book about the gospel. But before we can get to that great section that deals with the gospel in the multiplicity of its aspects of grace, we must understand the need for the gospel. And that's what Paul is laying down here. Unless we grasp the dire state of the world, unless we grasp the terrible need, we will never properly appreciate the glorious gospel message, nor will we ever adequately present that message to the world as Paul the Apostle did. So we're going to look at this passage that begins his treatment of the need of the world. You'll notice that verse 18 begins with the word for, carries the meaning of because. Now, notice that connection, it's very important. Go back to verse 16, you'll see he starts it with a for. Verse 17 starts with a for. Verse 18 starts with a for. Verse 19 starts with a because. Verse 20 starts with a for. Verse 21 starts with a because. You'll notice that Paul is deliberately stringing this argument all together. There, I have already commented on the logic that he uses as he develops the argument here. And why we may draw divisions in the book, we may analyze it in particular ways. Remember, this is an integrated argument, and Paul is stringing these things very closely together. His thoughts are like so many pearls on one string. You can distinguish one from another, but if you separate one from another, then you've broken the whole thing. So our verse 18 begins with four. It's connecting directly with the 17th verse. Therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, or the just by faith shall live. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice the significance of the connection. Verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed. And they're connected. The righteousness of God is revealed so that those who are justified by faith shall live. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against sin. First significance of that is very simple, very clear, that it proves beyond all doubt that the righteousness of God in verse 17 is not the attribute of divine righteousness, but the righteousness that God has provided by the obedience of Christ. If he were speaking of the attribute of righteousness, he couldn't say what he says in verse 18. There's no contrast if verse 17 speaks of the righteous attribute of God and verse 18 speaks of the wrath of God. They're not in contrast. The wrath of God is an expression of the righteousness of God. This is in contrast. The righteousness of God is revealed over against that, we can say, and indeed the reason for preaching that is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.